Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Mondo Show. Don't tune that dial. Don't change nothing. If you have been praying for a miracle, stay tuned because today's program is just for you. Listen to this. Before you make a decision, before you walk away from your family, before you change jobs, I want you to watch this program because I believe that your answer is attached to today's program. The power of fasting and prayer is a tool that very few people are willing to listen to, let alone do today. I believe that if you want to see a transformation in your life, you have to go through the process of fasting and prayer. God wants to meet you there. God changed my life when my sister decided to contend for my life, and I write about it in my book. And by the way, thank you for ordering my book. I want you to continue to support me. I'm going to put the link on the screen. Go to my website, themondoshow.com, or better yet, if you want to buy it through amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, do it whatever you want. But just know this, that when my sister began to pray for me, she also began to fast for me. She believed that her miracle was attached to fasting. Could your miracle be attached to fasting? Watch today's program with my special guest, pastor, reverend, author, international speaker, Ronnie Floyd is here to tell us more about fasting. Watch this.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Floyd, and I want to invite you on a life-changing journey. In my new book, The Supernatural Power of Prayer and Fasting, I share the life-changing truths God has revealed through my years of prayer and fasting. This book is more than a book. It's an invitation to experience God and His miracles in your life. Something supernatural happens when we pray and fast. With all that is happening in America and worldwide, the followers of Jesus and His church need to respond to this significant moment. It is time for us to pray. It is time for us to fast. It is revival time. And this is why the supernatural power of prayer and fasting is ready to order now. Take this step to change your life forever.
Ronnie Floyd, he's joining me via Skype. He's an author. He's a speaker. He is passionate to encourage others about dedicating their life to Jesus Christ. This is a man that has influenced the church for many years. And today he has a book. More than that, it's a devotional titled The Supernatural Power of Prayer and Fasting. 12 Ways God Will Change Your Life. This devotion will go amazingly good. That's not the proper English, but this devotional is so powerful that it's going to give you the tools that you're going to need in the journey of fasting and prayer. So please help me welcome Reverend, international speaker, a friend to many, Pastor Ronnie Floyd. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, Mondo. And boy, what a story you have. And thank God for what God's done in your life. And it's a joy to be with you today.
Oh, it's such a treat to talk to you, sir. We've had a lot of common friends and mutual friends. I see one here, R.T. Kendall. I love R.T. R.T. Kendall changed my life. He became a mentor of mine for several years. But when I saw R.T. Kendall's name in your devotion, I just want to ask you, what does R.T. Kendall mean to you?
Oh, what a man of God. I met R.T. when I lived in Nashville after I left our church here to help a ministry there. And through that, I was able to meet R.T. and Gina, which is my wife. We just dearly love R.T. and his wife, Louise. We've had them in our home on two occasions. We enjoy meals together. We talk every now and then. We communicate by text or by email. And he is a giant, 89 years old, still preaching the gospel all over the world. It is amazing. He was in one of America's
biggest churches this past weekend, and I'm telling you, what a godly saint, and I'm so grateful that he has impacted your life, because he has definitely impacted mine by his preaching and now by his life and my personal friendship with him.
Oh, man, it's so good to hear that about RT. I spend many hours talking with him, having conversations with him, spend a lot of time together, not ever realizing that this ex-gang member will be transformed by the life of a man, one of the greatest theologians of our time, RT Kendall. And I didn't understand his accent a little bit. I don't know if he was really from Kentucky or England.
I think it's kind of a combination. That's why you're having problems with it.
Oh, man, it's such a treat. Pastor, thank you for making time to be on my program. You're a busy man. You have influenced the world with your ministry, your church. Can I ask you this question? Because I believe that leaders today are facing some of the greatest difficulties in our lifetime. And I know people like Jim Baker and Jimmy Swagger and others that went through their own trials in their late 80s and early 90s. But we've never seen anything quite like social media exploding into the scene, attacking ministers from every direction. So I got to ask you this. What advice would you give a young minister facing social media today?
Well, thank you, Mondo. That's a tremendous question. I would say that ministry is more difficult today than ever before in my life. Leadership is hard. And one of the reasons it's hard and it's challenging and difficult is because of all the noise out here in the world. But I learned a few years ago, you need to not listen to the noise. You need to not become distracted by the noise. There will be people who are critics, and if they are genuine critics, you might need to sit down and listen to them and learn from them. God may want to use them in your life, but many people have no interest in your welfare. And many of them are attacking not from good, but they're attacking from evil in some force. And, you know, to me, social media, as great as it can be, also has a downside that can be very dark, a downside that can really, really, really keep people from walking deep with God, not only simply the distraction that social media is, but getting wrapped up in the storyline that somebody is creating about a ministry or about a minister or about yourself, and you're saying, this person doesn't even know me. Don't listen to the noise. You keep what God has in your heart and follow what God has in your heart and don't look back.
Oh, wow.
Listen to God and you will know who to listen to in your life.
You know, I appreciate your voice and I appreciate your encouragement. And anybody that dares even to pastor a church, just like you have throughout your, you know, ministry life, kudos to you, because most people will never understand what it is to really start a ministry or even a church from the ground up and face all the challenges. And then, you know, people always make mistakes. We as people, we make mistakes. We always fall short. But I'm afraid, Pastor, that the church has lost the ability or the moral compass to understand what restoration really is all about. And it seems like we are living in a Barabbas moment where we want Barabbas and we reject Jesus, meaning we reject restoration. I understand people like you, myself, we're held to a different accountability factors. And I get that because as leaders, we're held to a different process. But at the same time, whatever happened to restoration, why are we afraid of restoration?
Well, I believe that many people are not that temperament for restoration because they're not walking close to the Lord. I think if you're walking close to the Lord, you realize every day that I am by I am what I am by the grace of God. Otherwise, that would be me out there that might need to be restored. And so we have to have that kind of heart. We have to also have the kind of heart that we do stand for truth. Listen, we always need to stand for truth, but you need to stand for truth with love. And I like to say it this way, Mondo, because to me, this is what restoration is really all about. It's about holding the truth of God in one hand and the love of God in the other. And I think that's the way we have to handle situations like that with someone when they fall into sin. We have to always be faithful to tell them what God says, but tell them the whole thing God says. God loves you. God has a great plan for your life. Don't let Satan tank your plan. And because God has a better plan for you. And, you know, you need to come back to him, repent, turn from where you were going and ask him never to let you do that again. And then get back on the saddle and live for Jesus. You know, again, you also were very wise while ago to make a difference, Mondo, about people like you and me who are spiritual leaders and have responsibilities of that. We are held to a higher standard, but everyone is accountable to God. Doesn't matter who we are. And the church is accountable for the way they deal with people that are away from God. And the church needs to be not only aggressive with the preaching of the truth, but the church needs to also be aggressive in extending love to the community and calling people back to God and helping them get back to God by restoring them along the way.
You are absolutely 100% right. It makes me think of the story of my dear mentor and friend, the late Dr. Gary Smalley. And Dr. Gary Smalley called me one day and said, "Hey, I'm going to pick you up and we're going to go see a fellow brethren that just fell right before the whole public eye." And this was several years ago before he passed away, but we got on a plane and we went to go visit this pastor that the whole world knew, and he fell right before the public. And I remember Gary Smalley telling me, "I don't want you to say anything. I just want you to watch and pay attention how to restore a fellow brethren that fell in the public eye." This is when nobody wanted to identify with this broken man. And of course, I saw it through the last 27 years, you know, being with a man like Jim Baker that the world saw broken and fell and had his moral failures in front of the whole world. But understanding that when friends walk away, a good Samaritan walks in. And I realized that not everybody is called to restoration, just like you mentioned. But understanding that if you're going to get out there and help people that the world has rejected or the world doesn't know what to do with them, let alone the church world, you better learn how to fast and pray for this. Because your ministry can be held accountable if you identify with the broken. But it doesn't mean that it's for everybody. And this is why it brings me to the idea of the supernatural power of prayer and fasting. Because I want to tell you something. If you don't have the right tools that can go alongside of prayer and fasting, we're in trouble. And I'm seeing a lot of my friends that are ministers, especially late ministers, that are not ending well, Pastor. And it troubles me because we need the wisdom of the old. And I always tell people, don't get rid of the old ministers. We need them. We need their experience. We need their knowledge. We need their wisdom. And let me ask you this, in fasting and prayer, why for this time? Why for this season? Because it seems like the culture rejects everything that held the old generation as a foundation to move forward. Why do you feel like fasting, and especially fasting, not so much prayer, but why do you feel fasting is so key to still hold as a foundation to move forward?
I believe one of the things that the church can do, Mondo, is how do we answer this moment in time in America? Think about where everything is. Think about matters about yesterday in our country. Think about matters where we've been. Think about the potential of days ahead. And as you think through that, we have to ask ourselves, how does God want us to answer this moment? I believe the church can do what the world will never do. And that is to call out to God every day. Yes, to be the salt and the light like we should. But not only call out to God every day in prayer and not only be the salt and the light, the church needs to step into the space of trusting God through fasting and prayer. God does supernatural things when his people fast. Here's what I know, Mondo. Fasting is abstinence from food with a spiritual goal in mind. It is when you deny yourself from the most natural thing you do, which is to eat. It's normal to eat. You're supposed to eat. Jesus said there's a time to fast and there's a time not to fast. And so with that, we embrace eating. But there are moments, there are times, there are seasons when things happen and all of a sudden you know you need to go to another level. This is the era when all of us as Christians need to go into this new era of time with fasting and prayer all the time in our lives. A regimen of it, whatever that would be, a season of it, whatever it would be, because the more we deny ourselves, the more we pursue the God of heaven to do something that is supernatural, something that only God can do. And I'll say it this way, Mondo, God taught me through fasting and prayer that God can do anything with anyone at any time, anywhere. Your own life testimony demonstrates that. But also, here's the other thing. God can do more in a moment than I can ever do in a lifetime. That is one of the cherished things God taught me in 1995 in the midst of a long-term fast. God can do more in a moment than you can ever do in a lifetime. And to anyone who is watching today, listening today, whatever is going on in your life, believe in a God like that. He can turn the world upside down. He can turn your life upside down. He can turn your ministry upside down through prayer and through fasting.
Wow. Wow. That message is for you right now. If I was you, listen, I'm going to put a link on the screen. You need to go get not one, not two, but several copies and start a Bible study. You know that when my sister, you know, contended for my life, she didn't have any friends around her that would stand with her in fasting and prayer. Yet my sister alone was faithful to believe that that change can take place. I believe today, Pastor, we need groups of people. We need to be together more than ever to continue to contend for this generation, to contend for the church, to contend for the gospel, to contend for the very lives that we are believing for. Yet it starts by prayer and supplication, of course, but there's something powerful about fasting. I got a few moments left. I want to give you the platform right now and give you at least 5 minutes or whatever time you need and teach about what you just wrote, the 12 ways, whatever you have in your heart. And while you're listening to him, I want you to go to the website. I'm going to put a link on the screen, or better yet, just go to Amazon.com and get the copies today. Not one, not two, but several copies, and get them in the hands of your friends and family members and begin this journey together. You're not alone. Here's Pastor Floyd teaching about this brand new devotion that you need right now. Take it away, sir.
You know, one of the chapters in the book that I think, quite honestly, is worth the book because you never hear anyone talk about it, and that is this element that God invites you to walk with him in prayer and fasting. There are moments that he does that. He issues an invitation that you cannot decline. You might be walking through a time of restlessness. You might be dealing with an illness. You may be facing a very difficult marriage. You may be making a decision about something in your family, perhaps buying a new home, or should we buy a car at this time? Or I've got to pay for my college for my child. How am I going to do that? How is this going to happen? I mean, there are burdens and decisions and all sorts of things, from decisions to crises that we walk through. We need to understand God is inviting us in some of those episodes. He is inviting us to do it. And when we do that, we enter in with that one or two or three spiritual goals that we want to see God do. And then we abstain from food in the process. You know, there are 57 verses in the Bible that uses the word fast or fasting. Now, fast or fasting are referred to 69 times in those 57 verses. And all of them have to do with the abstinence of food. In fact, the word means shut mouth, no eat. That's really what we're talking about when we're talking about fasting and prayer with a biblical model. There are things that happen in your life when you fast and pray. You begin to experience the supernatural power of God in your life. You begin to experience the beauty of God's holiness and how God shows you his holiness, but you also see the far weight of your sin when you do it. But you also realize the powerful blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all that sin. You experience abiding in Jesus. That means remaining in him, staying in him, continuing in him. And that's what happens when we fast and when we pray. And you know, to me, when I look at it, one of the great passages of scripture is over there in the book of Ezra in chapter 8. Ezra had the opportunity to take God's people from exile back to Jerusalem. As he was doing that, he had a decision to make. I've been telling the king how powerful and great my God is. But now I've got to go through enemy territory, and I'm not sure we're going to be able to make it. So should I ask the king for a cavalry to see us through? How can I do that? Let's talk to God. Let's call a fast. And let's see if God will hear his people. And Ezra proclaimed a fast. He made a decision, a spiritual decision. The Bible says he did it to humble himself. It was a humble decision. He made a specific decision because he said, we're going to pray and fast that God will keep us safe from our enemies and from the ambushes along the way. Then the scripture says they went into a trusting decision. What was that? He issued the fast. He said, now we're going to start fasting. When you fast and pray, it's just like when you're walking with God in any other way. It's faith. It's trusting God to do what only God can do. And you keep that goal in your mind. But guess what God did? Did they make it? Did God keep them safe? Yes. God gave a powerful decision to him, and he declared it to the people. Look what God has done. He has kept us from our enemy. No ambush along the way. And we're heading to Jerusalem, where God wants us to go. God can do more in a moment than you can ever do in a lifetime. God hears his people when his people fast and pray. And all of a sudden, when that happens, you align your life with the will of God. And God begins to do things that only God can do. And that's why individuals need to fast. That's why groups of people need to fast together. And that's why the churches across America and the churches around the world need to implement seasons of fasting annually and periodically in their church. Thank God for those that do, but I appeal to all of you, begin to pray and fast.
Woo! There you have it. International speaker, author, reverend, a man that loves God, the supernatural power of prayer and fasting, 12 ways God will change your life. And I hope you order several copies. Amazon.com is the key. And I want to tell you something. Together, we're going to be able to see a change in this world, in our families, in our culture, in our churches. It's time we get back to the holiness of God. There's nothing wrong with that. I think you misunderstood really what the word holiness is all about and the definition behind it. I believe God, just like Pastor just mentioned, God can do anything and everything in 1 hour under his presence than a lifetime trying to earn his hand and trying to earn his favor. Man, go stay in the word. Go to the word. Together, I know we're going to be able to see a difference. I want to thank you for watching today, but more importantly, I want to thank you for your support. Listen, I know you have a lot of places that you can support. And if you think about me this month, I want you to support me. I want you to go to my website, themondoshow.com, and pray about supporting me every single month. Or if you want to just give a one-time gift, you are welcome to do that as well. I just want to thank you for praying for me, for believing in me, and for supporting the journey that I'm in right now. Your support, meaning your financial support, helps me to continue to preach the gospel around the world. But more important, you and I are connecting. And for that, I want to say thank you. Remember this, no matter what you're going through, keep the faith. It's going to be all right. Bye-bye. I invite you to become a part of the Mondo Insider, a part of my inner circle. You know, as an insider, you'll get behind the scenes conversations with my special guests as they share insights on today's headlines and go deeper and have a deeper connection where you get to ask the questions. I'm asking you to join me as a monthly supporter of The Mondo Show. I want you to visit my website, themondoshow.com, to learn more on how to become a Mondo Insider today.